Blog Talk Radio.
Immediately. Mic check.
We have the vote count.
We have 1,484.
We are
1,484. Approval. And there are 46
disagree.
The vote for a general strike just passed General Assembly in Oakland. Strike, strike, strike.
Because it is the right moment to be there and the right time to be there. We're here
because it's the right time to be here. We're tired and sick and tired of being sick and tired. That's why we're here. We're here. Not only are we talking about taking back our government, taking back a democracy and making it a democracy, but we're here because we're talking about taking back our humanity. Taking back our humanity right now here. That's why we're here. We're in a crisis here. But when there's a crisis, there are challenges and opportunities. We're here because we're taking up the challenge and the opportunity here. We support something that is happening not only here in Oakland. It's happening in almost 500 cities around the world. It's happening with young people. It's happening in Chile. It's happening in the Middle East. It's happening on Wall Street. It is about the same thing. We have to take back the world. We have to take back this precious planet that ours. And what does it look like? We don't know what it looks like. We know that there's going to be challenges, and there will be challenges. But at the same time, there's challenges. We know that it's not a weekend party, a weekend parlay. It means that we have to be on the job 24/7, working and organizing. Many men and women are here who come from various organizations, who come from labor. We know what has happened to labor. 88% of the workforce is unrepresented. 88% in a modern society, that's unconscionable. 88% don't have a way in which they can collect a bargain. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about 45% of the men and women, people who are unemployed or underemployed, have been unemployed and underemployed for more than 4 years. That's what we're talking about. We have to find something. So it has to be more than just simply jobs, even though we know that labor does its best work when it fights with jobs and better wages and better conditions in the workplace and all the things that it fights. We know that it does that, but it has to be a reimagining and a rethinking of what we mean by democracy. It has to be a reimagining and a rethinking of what we mean by work. It has to be a reimagining and a rethinking about what we need by education and what we mean, what it means, importantly, what it means to be a human being. What does it mean to be a human being?
Welcome to Here Be Monsters, and it's Tuesday, the 2nd of November. We're on general strike, right, Jack?
That's right. We're striking hard today.
Oakland has had several marches already, and according to, actually, David got the information, but it's Citibank and Wells Fargo and one other bank, I'm looking here to find it, have
good ones
all...
good ones to target.
Yeah, they've all been shut down by the Oakland protesters. They shut down the port.
They did.
They shut down the port.
Great.
So 12% of the longshoremen did not show up for work today. That's pretty impressive, you know,
with
these days when people need so much to work.
Right.
And
it shows the conviction that they have and the need and the way they feel it's so necessary.
Oh yeah. I want to say hello to Krell or David and Tricia P. Nolan in the chat room with our guest.
Hi, everybody.
Glad to see you guys here. Jack and I are here. We're on strike, boycott. How do we strike, Jack? We're striking MSM.
Well,
something.
We're not buying anything today. We're not spending any money. We're just sitting tight, and we're letting the world know that, they can't go on in their merry old ways like they've been doing. So we're doing it in our own special fashion, and everybody's got their own individual way, and this is our way today. We're not going to work. We're not doing anything like that. So,
no, we're just going to get out and scream about it here on the air, loud
right.
and clear.
Mm-hmm.
This is Here Be Monsters. I'm Gwendolyn H. Berry. With me is Jack Jodell. Hopefully some of our other writers will call in today for this show just to put their two cents in about what it means to have a general strike. I'll tell you this, we've got family there in Oakland today.
All right.
We've got Oso, Al Osorio and his younger daughter, Maureen Bernardo is there
great.
Too,
mm-hmm.
and a couple of little gals who are activists from down here in Lake Worth, they took their last bit of money, and they plane hopped with cheap tickets all the way out to Oakland to be a part of this general strike. I mean, is that 60s or what?
It's like a rebirth. It really is. It's incredible. I saw a film clip of Michael Moore up in Portland recently, and he was just astounded by the huge amount of people taking part. It was three blocks long with
wow.
tents and everything else. He enjoyed it very much, and he was overjoyed to see the great participation and the great spirit that they all had. And it's happening everywhere, and Oakland is the focal point
yeah.
right today. It's a very important one because of the general strike. But, you know, there's, like the one gentleman said, there are hundreds of cities all across the U.S. where this is happening right now.
Oh, there's absolutely no denying that.
Right.
It's going on right now at the end of Clematis Street in West Palm Beach, Florida, Occupy Palm Beach County, my little group. We may be only a few hundred of us strong, but we're there, we're doing it, you know.
Right.
It seems, I did find this out, I've been taking a look at the Twitter, and this happens every time there's something. That guy who started as the CEO is a bad one. He isn't what he seems to be. He's like a yuppie making money. Whole Foods in Oakland and in San Francisco
mm-hmm.
threatened their employees with termination if they did not show up for work. If they strike today, they lose their jobs.
Of all the people, Whole Foods. I can't believe it.
They're
dedicated to cleanliness and freedom from organics or from organic poisons and all that stuff, and they're turning around and taking a stance like that. That is unreal.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Maybe we should strike Whole Foods.
Yeah, they've been on my list for well over a year. When the CEO wrote that Republican editorial in the Wall Street Journal.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I forgot about that.
I basically.
Can anybody spell hypocrite?
Yeah, that's how you do it.
Yep.
Whole Foods, that's how you spell it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The Oakland police chief was worried about, this came in about an hour ago, he began to talk about being worried about provocateurs in the crowd, which I think probably like Denver is just some police plants.
Oh,
you know,
yeah. Knowing Oakland like we've seen, that's undoubtedly the case. And I think the guy's just trying to stir up trouble.
Yeah, I do too. You know, they started out at 9 a.m. this morning, and Oso has called in a couple of times to me and described what he's watched going on.
Great.
And he was telling me that with their first march, the American Indian Movement showed up, and there were loads of, you know, there's a lot of ashrams around San Francisco and the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, that's the Haight-Ashbury district, you know.
Right.
The Buddhist priests and or monks
mm-hmm.
and the medicine drummers
mm-hmm.
Staged the way for the marchers.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Good. That's outstanding. Well, it just shows how diverse this Occupy movement has become. It's including everybody. So, you know, there's no exceptions here, except for the 1%. They're not there, and they shouldn't be there.
Well, you know, there is my kid sister found a page, and I guess it's a pretty popular page, on Flickr, of all of these 1%ers who are inherited wealth, these younger, well-heeled folks who are like...
Yeah, and they're the worst.
Well, they're saying, I may be the 1%, but I support Occupy Wall Street, you know?
Well, those ones aren't the worst. It's the other ones like Grover Norquist that have never known a hungry night in their life that are out there doing all this reactionary craziness, and that's the people that we're against completely.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
No, the 1%ers who know where they are in life and appreciate where they're at and realize the injustice of what is being done to the 99%, those people are fabulous.
Oh, man, yeah. Well, you know, today it was a day-long strike and everything was planned, and it began at 9 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And they started out with about 1,000 people. I'm hearing different numbers as the day goes on of how many people are actually showing up now.
Mm-hmm.
But they began by blocking the intersection at 14th and Broadway where the Frank, I think it's called Ogawa Plaza is, where they're all camped out and such.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The bad stuff happened last
mm-hmm.
week.
Right.
The crowd was really great. There have been flash mobs, which are completely peaceful people who do crazy things like dance in the middle of things ceremoniously, you know. Or
mm-hmm.
I heard there were flash mobs at Occupy Wall Street of meditation. So
yeah.
I'm still trying to quite to picture that one.
They're,
anyway,
they're all part of the 99% too, though, so they belong there.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Like everybody else,
yeah.
You know.
They
add a little diversity and a little color to it all.
Oh, yeah, and some art. And what are we without our culture? We're demonstrating a kind of a brand new culture right now, I think.
Right, right.
But the crowd has been very peaceful, and so far, that's what we're hearing. The crowd has been awfully peaceful. I want to encourage anybody in the chat room to call in, especially if they have any more information on Occupy Oakland right now.
Right.
I haven't heard from Oso for a little while, so I'm not quite sure exactly what he's up to at the moment. I think he's
just
going to go home for some equipment or something.
Uh-huh.
But I'm sure he'll get in touch if he can.
You know, regarding the question of peacefulness, isn't it amazing that it has been completely peaceful everywhere, and the only time you haven't seen peace has been when the police have interfered in a violent way?
Yeah, Jack, that's really...
That's remarkable. And that shows you that this isn't a crazy ragtag bunch of moronic anarchists. These are people that really are affected by the 1% in a negative way, and that are responding accordingly, peacefully, without destroying things, without stealing things, without you know, acting up in any way. All they're doing is expressing their opinions about what the 1% are doing, and they're doing it in a very civilized way.
Well, yeah, the protesters have been pretty much peaceful and
mm-hmm.
well behaved until you absolutely can't blame the protesters for what happened at Ogawa Square, you know.
No. Right. Yeah, when police come at you with the riot gear on and they start shooting at you, rubber bullets and tear gas, I mean, that's extreme, and it's uncalled for, and it's going to provoke panic and a little crazy reaction. But by and large, even in the face of that, the protesters conducted themselves very well.
Well, they did. They really did. And I understand that Mr. Olson, and thank you on Sunday for correcting me about
his name. Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah, that was.
It's hard to keep it all straight. So much has happened in such a short time.
It's true. It's really quite true. But I want to thank you very much for that. Mr. Olson is not yet actually speaking, but
yeah.
He gave the thumbs up. But that I saw on Olbermann, the last. I wanted to ask you. I'd love to get anybody's comeback on this one who's out there in the chat room or listening in, if you want to call and talk about this, because I'd love to know what people think or even say. What do you call it? Did you see Keith Olbermann on Monday night?
Mm-hmm.
He did a commentary, and he did it dressed as, V for Vendetta.
Mm-hmm.
He put on the mask and the hat and the wig. Did you see
mm-hmm.
that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was very original
and very remarkable, I thought.
Yeah, he was making a huge point, but that was just incredible. Last night he wasn't on, and I'm wondering, with all of what's going on, where the heck he can be. I wanted to mention a couple of things before we get into it, or we get any callers in here that are going to talk with us about Occupy Oakland and how it's going out there. I did want to mention that I heard and read, and we spoke about it earlier, the coal slurry that broke loose and is now draining into Lake Michigan, all of the coal sludge.
Jeez. Yeah, and they want to do away with the EPA. Can you imagine that, huh? Good
well,
God.
These are as bad, as the oil in the ocean.
That's right.
And people don't, realize how much this poison is going to basically be.
Oh, it'll kill all the fish. It'll kill all the wildlife. It's just not a good scene.
Michigan has just gotten itself, and I see our wonderful friend, that was good, the good gal. Diane G in the chat room, and I'm wondering what she is thinking about the Lake Michigan being turned rancid as we speak with mercury and arsenic and just all kinds of stuff. I'm not sure the name of the coal company, but they are actually putting a spin out that says that none of this stuff is eco-unfriendly, that there is no danger to the environment. They're just lying.
Well, there's arsenic all over my backyard. I don't know about yours, but, there's coal sludge and all kinds of stuff in my driveway. What is wrong with these people?
They're absolutely out and out lying now. All
they're criminals.
Doing is lying and getting away with it now.
They're criminals.
So back to I wanted, and there's one other thing that I would like to point out today. There is another small flotilla underway to the Gaza Strip that left Turkey, I believe, sometime in the last 24-hour span.
Mm-hmm.
And the Israeli Navy has been notified. According to the IDF, they will stop them and they will board them.
And the flotilla is from Turkey, and it's...
It's filled with... They're not from Turkey. It's filled with people who are bringing supplies and goodwill and supplies and medicine and all kinds of things to Gaza, to the Palestinians.
Oh, I see. Okay, to the Palestinians. Yeah, yeah. Well, shame on Israel for that. That's terrible. That stuff should be allowed to pass without any question at all. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, you know, I suppose we should get back to Occupy Oakland here. They shut down three different banks. Apparently, they got to Wells Fargo.
Great.
And Wells Fargo was shut down, but the bank, Commerce, I think it was. Commerce
National Bank? Yeah.
Commerce. No, it's not Commerce. It's a Western bank I'm not familiar with.
Okay.
And basically, they closed down when they saw them coming. They hurried and locked their doors. Now, here's the thing.
See, they're thinking they're a bunch of bank robbers and they're going to ransack them. How utterly ridiculous.
Well, here's the thing, too. Bankers can do that because since the 29 crash, they have had, there's been a law, there was a law passed and it's on the books that if a bank thinks that there is a run about to be made on that, they can lock their customers in or they can lock their customers out.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, it is.
It's crazy. Paranoia. Paranoia strikes them, you know.
It's really quite true.
Yeah.
We do have a caller.
Great.
810 area code. Is that a Michigan code? Hi, caller, you're on.
It's Diane in Michigan, Glenn.
Hi, Diane.
Hey. How are you doing, hon?
Oh, not too bad. Just got in from work a few minutes ago and trying to catch up on the day's activities. I wanted to talk a little bit. You had asked a little bit about my reaction while I was trying to pop up the article. One of the original articles I read about this was on Daily Kos, and it's by an activist, a woman named Muskegon Critic, who lives nearby. And, of course, we all get our drinking water essentially here from the Great Lakes.
Ooh,
right.
Yeah.
And the thing, you know, we really do. You know, I'm on a well, again, because I'm rural, but most of the cities do draw it in from a Great Lake or another, process it. We're to the point where we have four of these active coal plants along shoreline. This one was built on a bluff, essentially made of coal ash. When they built the new factory, they built it on this old dump. Not real stable ground, not rocket science.
Yeah. Well,
they've been telling us for years not to eat fish out of the Great Lakes. And what's happening here essentially is, I mean, the mercury levels are so high in this. There's lead in it. There's cadmium in it. There's arsenic in it. There's all kinds of nasty stuff in this ash. And they're going, oh, well, oopsie. And it's really, half a billion fish a year are killed by coal or nuclear cooling systems every year.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous. And we've got at least one active nuclear plant on the shores of Lake Erie.
Mm-hmm.
Is that Lake Erie? Is that still Huron?
Diane,
sure,
are these
Huron.
All U.S.-based or are they are some Canadian-based as well?
The ones I'm speaking to at the moment are U.S.-based.
U.S.-based,
I don't have the actual numbers in front of me.
Right.
But, you know, here we are poisoning the greatest freshwater reserve in the world.
I know, it's crazy.
And, you know, we're doing nothing about it.
Yeah.
Nothing about it. And it makes me absolutely crazy. I pointed out in chat that Seneca Lake in New York, they're trying to, from the fracking, they're trying to store propane and brine pools, which will be up the shoreline. Of course, where does water run? Downhill.
Yeah.
In caverns, salt caverns, just on the shoreline of Seneca Lake. Now, what happens when they have, and this is a place that just got that part of that earthquake. They felt it. What happens when that propane blows? What happens when all that brine runs into Seneca Lake, another large, large lake that supplies water to everybody?
Well, you know, the problem with businesses, it's always the quickest and easiest and most cost-efficient way is the best. They always take that lazy way out, and it always comes back to bite them right in the rear end, you know. And this is outrageous, really, what's happening in Michigan and in New York and everywhere. People have really got to get up in arms about this stuff.
We had a huge spill into our river system last year outside of Kalamazoo that of oil from an old pipeline that's never been updated that just gave way. And, I mean, it seeped for a while. Apparently they found out after the fact it had been seeping for a while. But really what they did was they blotted up the shores, fixed the leak, and called it good. This is while our EPA is being gutted. In
yeah,
fact,
right.
They just clean coal. Golly, I feel so much better because all that ash and lead and arsenic and cadmium, that was really, it's clean coal. So it's okay because those are clean coal emissions. It's all good,
coal.
Folks. Look the other way.
Yeah, what a misnomer.
Something shiny. Woof.
What a misnomer.
And make it worse, I've heard David say many times when he's been on the show, how anxious our president is to give some work to the nuclear facility makers and contractors outside of out of Illinois.
Well, they're big in Illinois, and he's you know, been influenced by them evidently into believing that that's the way to go. And we all know from Japan and everywhere else, it's not a good thing.
He's been paid by them. I spent. I don't know, probably 12 minutes waiting for someone to answer the phone, a real person to take my comment at the White House the other day.
Really?
I called in to congratulate the president on his new Wall Street campaign manager. You know, I mean, that deserves some congratulation. How frigging tone deaf do you have to be? And he's taken money. His first $5 million in his kitty was from Wall Street.
Yeah.
We basically have what was it that, the nuclear energy industry has been campaign fluffing the president also. So It's basically, you know, game over for the environment.
He's got us between a rock and a hard place. That's unfortunate. And you look at the Republican side of life, and there's no life over there at all. They're all pro-corporate, all pro-Wall Street. There isn't a single one of them that has anything bad to say about Wall Street, and more than half of them are in their pocket, too.
Well, I got to ask Diane, what do you think? What do you think about what M.M. Flint said, Michael Moore said, if a serious candidate steps up and says, I'm not taking a dime from any of these corporations or anyone, and I'm running on alternative media and the people's goodwill, do you think they have a chance?
I think they have a chance of being assassinated. Of course, it would be by a radical leftist, you know, plant something, Patsy, whatever. No, I think that's actually a beautiful idea, and I know a lot of people that would get behind it. But I want to mention, before we move on, I know you kind of moved on from the environmental issue a little bit. This Thursday, legislation was introduced in the Senate to prevent coal ash waste from being regulated. I've already written my senators about it, but my senator is a douchebag, so that's
who's
not going to help.
That?
I do not know. Hold on a second. I could probably bring it up in just a second. It is H.R. 2273, and it is not telling me who. I don't have that right at my fingertips, but it is H.R. 2273, seriously, they've gutted the air already. Obama's advisors are big corporate, fast dollar people.
Mm-hmm.
We're the 99%. They're playing their own little game without us. We're collateral damage. We're done with them. I'm buying Michael Moore.
Yeah, well, Michael Moore has a point. If people who are, we've got one person in our Occupy group down here who is doing it totally grassroots. Anita Stewart, the lady who comes on and speaks about Occupy Tampa with us here. Anita Stewart ran for the water board in Hillsborough County here.
And she won.
And in this state, you can't be partisan when you're campaigning, you know.
Oh, right.
You can't be. And she, I think she told me she spent less than $300, and that was all for flyers to hand out at events that she attended, and she used Facebook and Twitter to get her name out there. She got over 86,000 votes.
Mm-hmm.
So that tells you what social nets are able to do. Of course,
let's just
look at Occupy, Occupy everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really interesting to see the Flickr pictures of the aligned Occupy marches and fill-ups of, like, I can't remember the name of the French town or city that did, but Tahrir Square was filled with people in mm-hmm. alignment with the general strike for mm-hmm. Occupy Oakland. This is if an event goes on mm-hmm. with Occupy, you know, like I don't know what Denver's going to do, but I would imagine their General Assembly are thinking of something that they can do to draw awareness to, because that was brutal what mm-hmm. they went through there. And it's brutally cold everywhere we're talking about. Well, Oakland isn't. But New York is now being going through the Breitbart's big government is urging the Republicans to, well, you know, Fox will jump on it and whatnot.
Oh,
and they
sure,
already
sure
have.
They will. Yep.
About the cops dropping off all of the indigent home, you know, the indigent and the halfway house kicked out, people being released from the tombs.
Sure, drunk and everything.
Jail.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. They're being dropped off by the New York Police Department down there mm-hmm. at Occupy Wall Street. Now, I didn't believe that right on the top of it, you know. You can say many things. But the people at Occupy, last night, I think it was, or was it the night before, that the young man who's part of the General Assembly from the beginning at OWS
mm-hmm.
was on Countdown, and mm-hmm. he explained, you know, they're part of this group. They're
right.
part of the 99%. He was noble. Noble in the face of what they're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. It's totally amazing to me what is going on in this country and worldwide with people just standing up and saying enough, you know?
Well, there's a lot of treachery out there, and that was a good example of what the NYPD was trying to do. It was very treacherous.
Well,
but
I was segueing into a point that Diane made yesterday mm-hmm. and we had opposing opinions about it. You remember what it was, Diane?
Well, absolutely. We're talking about the
yeah.
letter written by the Police Department of Oakland
mm-hmm.
saying essentially we're getting mixed message from a higher up. We're the 99% too, but we've been told they're telling everybody, all of the community servants and public servants, to go ahead and take the day off and occupy, except
mm-hmm.
us. We all have to show up, no days off, no sick days, no anything. We have to work. This is after telling us to clear this park and then letting them back in and changing her mind the next day.
Mm-hmm.
The reaction to this has been twofold. I mean, obviously we're going, is it real, is it live or is it Memorex?
Mm-hmm.
Is this COINTELPRO? Is this trying to pass the blame? Or is this in any way actual frustration? Because, you know, these people do have people out of work. So go ahead and give your side of it, and I'll kind of counter it.
Sure. Well,
okay, my point was that this was preemptive blame on Mayor Kwan for anything mm-hmm. that goes wrong today or tonight during the general strike. And indeed, they're talking about, you know, provocateurs in the crowd already. But I thought it was just some political backstabbing in the city, as it were, between the police department of the Fraternal Order of the Police and the city council and mayor. But now you should hear Diane's perception of this.
Mm-hmm. Well, out here where I live now, there's a lot of, it's very, the bastion of right-wing neocon knuckle-dragging racists. There's a lot of jackbooted thugs. There's a lot of, honest to God, I swear to God, they were kids that must have been bullied when they were children, and just now they just buy into, it's us against the skulls, even though there's, like, no crime out here. You know, they're, like, bad, and you will respect my authority types.
Mm-hmm.
Ideologues, authoritarian types will always defer to their commander, and it's really, really hard to ever change those people's minds.
Yeah, they're crackpots.
They are. However, no revolution ever succeeds until you change the minds of the people, protecting the oligarchy, protecting the elites,
mm-hmm.
and make them go,
right.
wait a second, and turn around and join the people.
Mm-hmm.
So my opinion when I read this, and I do know a lot of cops that have had to do stuff they just really didn't want to do, including Clear Park, Science Park, where we used to all hang out when we were young. They're like, oh, God, can't we just leave the kids alone?
Mm-hmm.
But they have to do it to keep their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And then if there is any altercation, they're trained to now, more so than ever, they're giving them military training to where your life's in danger and you've got to be badass. You know, it's very much a siege mentality, but
yeah.
I really want to believe that some of these folks that got together, what was it, 967 or something, folks that got together and wrote this letter, have brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, grandparents that are out of work, lost their retirement in the Ponzi schemes, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Oakland is not a real affluent area. If
mm-hmm.
it's like Detroit cops have to live in the city to work there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right.
If they're living there, I'm starting to think that these boys are going, you know what? We're not real. But yeah, some of the guys acted like assholes. But,
yeah,
you know, that was 12 of them shooting those canisters, and maybe the rest of us are going, what the fuck are you doing? Stop it. I'm
yeah.
hoping that these people may be changing their minds, and I'll give you one more disclaimer before I shut up. Even if that's not their intent, they moved the Overton window by a group of policemen saying, we're the 99%, and maybe what
yes.
we're doing isn't right. So that even if it's three people on each department throughout the nation on each department, three
mm-hmm.
people start to go, they have a point, and start talking to other people,
mm-hmm.
it starts with whispers in the field.
Sure. Well, you know,
well,
Diane,
you know, Diane, I don't know if you heard, but there was actually a gal who does radio down here, and she confirmed a story that a Denver police officer with tears in his eyes basically said,
mm-hmm.
I can't do this anymore, and he walked off the job. And then the next day she confirmed that he resigned.
Mm-hmm.
But she didn't give
a... Reaffirm that happened two places now.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Where is
well,
it out?
There's, if the truth be known, there's a lot of... I mean, this entire movement has taken the world by storm, and it's really... It's surprised and shocked a lot of people. I'm sure the Oakland PD is, as we speak, is having internal discussions and battles about what role they should play and what they should be doing, because it's confusing to them. They've never been faced with anything quite like this before, and neither have the NYPD or anybody else. I mean, it's a brand new phenomenon, and they're kind of sorting out ways in which to deal with it. And hopefully, most of them will take the proper tack, like you're describing. We don't know, though, and we won't for a few more days at least.
I'd like to quote somebody. The quote is, and David began the day over on Roundtree 7, the Journey Room on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
by using it. It's, quote, our struggle is universal. Our identity should not just be Occupy Wall Street, but those throughout the world struggling against racism and neocolonialism and free trade and crony capitalism. We begin by banding together with like-minded individuals and our individuals in our individual communities. We can occupy. And Al Osorios is the one who wrote that. And he's there right now. He and his daughter are, and Maureen Bernard, I think Maureen has actually gotten home. I see that Oso is tweeting onto Facebook. It's about earlier in the day. But, you know.
That's a tremendous quote, and that is so accurate. It's right on the
money. It really is. He's very good at that.
Hats off to Oso for that one. That's a great, great quote.
He embraces the world. You know what they said. You know what they said on April 19th in 75, don't you?
No, what?
No, well, a couple hundred years ago, they said, "Lay down your arms, you damned rebels." You know.
Oh yeah.
It's not as good a side-by-side, if you will. It's not as good a metaphor as it could be. But I can't help but think that what happened in Oakland was like the proverbial shot heard around the world. Mm-hmm. And that expression has been used to describe much more than the American Revolution. You know, it's been used in sports. It's been used in countless other political situations, both here and abroad. You know, I think that something is definitely going on. It's not going to stop. It's like an engine that may have started out being tinkered with, but now it's become a perpetual motion machine.
You know, the thought has occurred to me that this year is a lot like the year 1968. There are some important differences, and I hope they'll stay different, because there were a lot of political assassinations in 68, which I hope we never see again. But the thing that's unique about this is that there was all over the world in 1968, there were all kinds of demonstrations against Vietnam, for freedom in Czechoslovakia. You know, there was all kinds of things going on, and it kind of raised a fever pitch at the time. A lot of it was inspired by the youth movement of the time. The counterculture was coming into fruition. And this year, it's too early to tell exactly which way it's going to go. But unlike 68, this isn't just confined to the youth of America. This is confined to everybody, all strata. Because all strata make up the 99%. And that's what makes this so incredibly important and relevant to everybody.
And the other defining difference that I'd like to point out is there are no charismatic leaders leading this. This is led by the people themselves from all different walks. It was leftist youth movement essentially wanting not just out of the war. Conscription was a huge part of that, the draft.
Right.
When people are forced to undergo horrific things, you get blowback. And the youth were the ones who were having to go out there and die. And there were charismatic leaders. Mm-hmm. We don't have a draft inciting this right now. What we have is widespread poverty. And that poverty addresses everybody from the very young to the very old. So this is going to be a little bit more difficult for the oligarchy to address.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be easier for them to infiltrate because it's from the right, it's from the left, and it's from the full spectrum of you know, my 12-year-old to grandparents out there. It's a leaderless movement, so there's no one to assassinate. That's hard. But the fact that there's this broad array, but, you know, they can't just end the war and end the protests because they can't end and won't end the poverty.
Good point, Diane. Very good point.
Well, it's not only I don't see it quite just as the, although I agreed, It is about money. It is definitely money being the anchor of this. I think it's also about the knowledge that people who basically are ones who have triggered this and who are sustaining it and building it right now are aware that it is because of money and the profiteering by 1% over so many that we're losing our home. Mm-hmm. And just as Diane said, go back to the environment for a minute. There's some real timelines going on here. I think we're in a place where everything is happening for a reason. There's a bit of I won't use any kind of spirituality or anything like that. I'll just say logically there's a timeline going on here, and if you look at the science surrounding where we stand and what is approaching us very quickly. Mm-hmm. And I saw it in the papers that we reached 7 billion on the planet.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
That's an incredible amount of people. Mm-hmm. And this is a world of plenty. There is enough for everyone. I think that very truthfully.
Yeah.
It's the fact that it's being stolen.
It's
people's
being
lives
hoarded,
being stolen.
Being hoarded by a few, and it's being kept from all the others by that same few, and that's the reason people are so upset and out in the streets.
I'd like to believe very much that it is a spiritual awakening and environmentally based as well as everything else, but I don't think the average person is as enlightened as we are. I talked to
right.
a friend this morning, a neighbor. We were chatting on Facebook first thing in the morning with our 6 a.m. coffee and typoing appropriately.
Mm-hmm.
And I was telling her that I was planning to go down Thursday or Friday to Detroit since Ann Arbor was an epic fail.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I said, that's an hour drive each way. Gas money. I'm like, you can drive with me. And she's like, well, what will it do for me? Will I get gas money out of it? And I said, no. And she's like, being sarcastic. She's like, you know, because I'm, you know, and I went, these are people. I go, do you know how many of those people in that camp are now taking care of each other?
Right.
I said, because they were people who had good jobs a few years ago and now are losing their house. And all of a sudden she's like, yeah, we're losing our house. I understand that. I go, it's time to stand up and say no more.
Yep.
And I go, you know, these are community people reaching out and taking care of each other. My friend is a doctor of nursing and teaches nursing at the university. And he's been going down there. He went down twice. He's going to go with me either Thursday or Friday and manning the medic tent and taking care of people, whoever needs taken care of, with donated whatever they can get. And I'm taking a bunch of blankets I got from my mother-in-law's house when she passed, blankets I don't need, and some tarps. And I think I'm going to stop and buy some more tarps because it's getting cold and wet in Michigan.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You do whatever little you can do.
And that's how this is surviving.
Yeah.
I think the average person, though, just some of these people really, even though a lot of people are beginning to understand, I think the average person's going, still doesn't really know what it's about.
Well,
it's
only a matter of time. It's only a matter of time, though, Diane. I've made that point myself that a lot of people, it's still like the tip of the iceberg. The iceberg is shrinking every day, though, because that tip is growing bigger and bigger and bigger, and it's going to continue to do that because everybody's affected the same way, and when it dawns on them finally, as it will, there's going to be a massive upheaval. It's just going to be incredible.
That's why I'm bringing her, because she was somebody who didn't know.
Yeah,
and,
good,
and
good
she's
job.
A mouthy social butterfly, and she'll tell 20 other people.
great.
You know, and that's how it grows.
That's right.
That's
true.
That's doing the job. We've got 6 minutes left here, guys. I want to thank everybody who stopped in today to listen to us. And, Diane, thanks for calling in so much. And don't go nowhere.
Are you sure you're not having 2 hours? Because it says you've got 1 hour and 5 minutes remaining on my screen.
I do one, but I always pack for two, you know. It's the way I do it. makes it easier. I don't have to go back and mess with it. I do one, but I pack two.
Well, Diane, I just want to say that was it's a very noble gesture on your part, and I can't congratulate you enough for that. That great spirit and that those good actions. That's fabulous.
Oh,
also, you know,
thanks,
they're not
having me on.
Oh, always. Thanks for the turn back, the recompense you're always doing. I want people to know that this is Diane G. from the Wild, Wild Left Blog Talk Radio Show. You're on Fridays at what time to what time?
I'm on from 6 to 7, and I'm not smart enough to pack extra time. I usually just add it on the fly. And, you know, I want to thank the rest of the world real briefly for being so sympathetic to us finally waking up here when we basically spent most of our existence blindly, just willfully unaware of what our oligarchs have been wreaking on them forever.
Yeah.
And now suddenly when we're suffering it, they're sure a lot more, what's the word for it, caring than we are.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, world, for understanding that we, the people, didn't do this.
Well, we were ignorant for just so long, but it's finally caught up with us. So now we're starting to realize what's going on, and we're reacting accordingly. So that's a great thing.
It really is. I want to remind folks, too, that the people in Oakland are pretty brave crowd. They've shut down the port. They have shut down banks all day. They've done their marches. I haven't heard yet about any kind of trouble breaking out. And I hope you all realize, too, that as the day has been going on, there have been groups and people who have been reoccupying their foreclosed homes. They've reoccupied a shutdown school and library. They're really working it out there pretty hard. And
that's
I look forward to getting a recap from Oso and also Maureen in the next few days.
Great.
And Jack, thanks for dropping in with me. And Diane,
yeah, nice to be with you today.
Thank you. And everybody remember, it's still until midnight, a general strike. And in sympathy with Oakland, Occupy Oakland in Oakland, California, and keep sending the good energy their way. You got any announcements, Diane?
I do not. I'm trying to stay up on this. I think it's they're talking about another general strike, a national one, on the 28th of this month coming. More will unfold about that.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Great.
And Tricia Nolan, thank you for Tricia Poole. Thank you for being in the chat room today and asking good questions and exposing demons too.
Mm-hmm.
And all the rest of our guests. This has been Here Be Monsters. We are on every day in sympathy with Occupy Wall Street and the Occupy movement as it is across the planet. We are a boycott to the mainstream media, just like all of the rest of the Drumline shows, including the Wild Wild Left, Pinko the Bear, Progressive News Network, all of them on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Jack, for being with me today. And
yeah, thank you.
I know I won't see you Sunday, but I'll see you the Sunday after, I hope.
You sure will, yeah. In the meantime, Occupy Everywhere, solidarity.
There you go. Absolutely. I'm going to leave you folks with a little something to think about. This is Cherie Foytlin.
Oh,
from Rain, Louisiana, and Project Gulf Impact, I think what she has to say about democracy, bears to everything we're going through in the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll leave off with Cherie.
Great. See you later, Gwen.
Bye-bye, Jack.
I think it's important is democracy. What's the number one thing the number one person that I can get information to and change this and make this better. And at that time, I actually thought it was the President of the United States. I believe that if I, as an American citizen, as a voting person who have always done the right thing, always worked, always took care of my kids, I pay my taxes, I do exactly what I'm supposed to do, that if I called out to the President of the United States in earnest, that he would hear me. So I called out to him on CNN.
I'm asking you, sir, as a patriot and as an honorable person, to come and hear our story and hear the pain that we are in.
I needed to know at that point if my country and what I believed about my country was real. And I got my answer. It's not. It's not. We no longer are a free society. The corporations are the people, and we're under them. I have no voice. That was the lesson. What do you do if no one will hear you? You scream louder and louder and louder, and you stomp your feet, and nobody will still hear you? That's the most helpless feeling in the world. And that's what everybody in this whole situation has felt from the beginning. That's the tragedy of it. It's not just the fact that we lost our culture, we lost our livelihood, we lost endless amounts of wildlife. We lost our voice. In order to secure a future for our next generation, we are going to have to change the fight. Do it like Martin Luther King Jr. did, and understand that the rights of a human for clean air and clean water are equally as important as their civil rights. I will not, under any circumstances, let my baby grow up in a world where greed and money is more important than their life. I will not do it. And I don't care if nobody stands behind me. I don't care what happens. That president, that person, the Congress, I don't care what I have to do. They are going to hear us.
Utterly fabulous.
It is, isn't it? I mean, that is, she's one of my heroes.
She is one of a kind. What a wonderful lady.
One of my heroes.
So correct. So correct.
Jack, thanks for being here. I'll
say
night.
Good to be with you.
And this has been Here Be Monsters on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be back tomorrow in our continuing boycott of the MSM and support in solidarity with Occupy Wall Street and Occupy the Planet.
Solidarity.